Good evening. Good to be back with you, beloved, as we continue to study in God's Word. We're studying the Church of Jesus Christ. And I look out in the audience and see us compacted together. That reminds us of the church local. You know, is the church universal? Like we had this morning, there are believers everywhere. Now we have the local expression. Now we are all the body of Christ. We are all the local church. But it's so good to be with you, beloved. We mentioned this morning that we have metaphors that describe the church of Jesus Christ. This morning we looked at the church as the building, and that Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we looked at the church as the temple, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, while these truths are challenging, I know that we are not teaching anything new. But you know, Peter said to the saints before he departed, he said his purpose was to stir up their pure minds by putting them in remembrance. Paul the Apostle, writing to Timothy, he says, if you remind the saints of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So it's always good for us to remember who we are, to remember the fact that we are the body of Christ. That's where we're going to begin this evening. The body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. There's only one head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And we're going to look at the body we're going to look at the church as a flock, and Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And then finally, we're going to look at the church as the bride, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Colossians chapter 1. The epistle to the Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the head of the body. Now, more than anything else, you and I can understand this metaphor, the body, because we all live in a body. And each of us, we have different members of that body. And all the members do not have the same function. You don't walk with your hands, and you don't eat with your feet. The body is a united body, and there is no need for us to use our heads to think that we can get from here to there. That's what the feet are for, that we might walk. And we lift with our hands. But the Lord Jesus is not so much like our head, but he is the head over all. He controls all things. It is his body, and he is the head. There are not many heads in this body. Jesus Christ is the head. The head of the church. It is what he says that goes, beloved. It is what he says that we need to hear and respond to. Too many have usurped this authority as being the head of the church. There is no head on earth. Our head is in heaven, and we listen to him. It is his church. He says, I am building this church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to understand that our function in the body of Christ is to do what he says, is to go where he sends, is to trust and obey. He is the head of the body, of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not the things that you were satisfied with, not the things that you are pleased with, but that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is over all. He's all by himself, the leader, the head of the church. In all things, beloved, when it comes to his word, we need to give heed to the things that he has said. He's building this church. And you remember when Moses was building the tabernacle and God gave him all the instructions, just as the Lord has given us instructions in the church, how to do this and who must do this and who must perform these tasks. He has given instructions. He hasn't left us to ourselves. And he said to Moses, after all that he has said to him, he says, see that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. Too often we are making alterations. Too often we are making adjustments. Too often we are looking to modify what God has said, and we can't do that. It's his church, and nothing has changed since he has given us instructions. Paul said, I am a wise master builder. And I'm building according to his instructions. Moses couldn't say, Lord, I know you said to make the curtains blue, but I think green would look better over there. And if he did that, it would destroy the typology, because blue is the heavenly colors. You say, you know, Lord, when Noah built the ark, he used gopher wood, you know. And that would look pretty good. That's pretty. No, God wanted that tough, desert-grown wood because it represented the humanity of the Lord Jesus. He shall grow up before him like a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. No modifications. No bringing the church into the 21st century, as we hear people say, God's been here before we got here. He is the head, that in all things he would have the preeminence. It's his church, it's his body. He decides. In Ephesians chapter 1, and this epistle describes the church more than any other place in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22 it says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Over all things, everything that concerns the church, he is over all things, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All things are under his feet. Oh, he's got leaders. He's got ministers. He's got evangelists and teachers. But they cannot supersede him and what he has said. All things are under his feet. The church is his body, and he is the head. Being a part of Christ's body doesn't happen when we became religious or when we were baptized in water. We didn't become a part of his body by joining a church, joining even a Bible-believing church. We didn't become believers. We didn't become a part of that body because we have decided to change our lifestyle. Now, all that is involved when you come to know Christ, but the first things must be first. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read that, but also in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, it says, for as the body is one, there are not many bodies, not many churches in the sense of the unity of Christ's body. We have local expressions of that church in different places. The church universal, all believers met together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered unto his name. They're all part of the church. But it is one church. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, still one body, so also is Christ one body. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit by which we are baptized into one body. There are not many baptisms into the body of Christ, only one time. You see, every believer is a part of the body of Christ. And every believer has been baptized into the body of Christ. This is not a second blessing. It happened the day and the very moment you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a part of the body of Christ. This is not an attainment as you go up and you get more spiritual, then you get baptized into the body of Christ. No, that's not what the Bible says. All believers, the youngest to the oldest, the greatest preachers, teachers, to the simplest believer, all have been baptized into the body of Christ. It happened when we got saved. It happened when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. For the body is not one member, but many. One body, but many members. Think of your own body, and if you had three heads, and everybody would get out of here because you are not one. You are not one body. No, you got three heads. You know, you don't have three heads. One body, and Christ is the head. Also, in 1 Corinthians, it speaks of the unity of the body and the function of the members of the body. And you can read that because it's fairly extensive reading, and we want to get through our study this evening. So, but if you want to read about the functions of the body, then you continue in chapter 12 and you read on to the end of the chapter. And it names different parts of the body, the human body. That is how it is with the body of Christ. Now we go back to Ephesians in chapter 4, because we get a lot of our teaching on the church there. Back to Ephesians in chapter 4, and this is what it says. This is the unity of the body here. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, says, "There is one body." We already mentioned that. "And one Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." One hope, that's what Jesus Christ is in us, is the hope of glory. One hope of your calling. "One Lord," that's our Redeemer, the one who came to save us. "One faith." Some people say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Not really. Paul, when he preached to the Ephesian elders, he said, "Well, the message I preached was faith, repentance towards God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If your faith is not in him, then you are not part of the body." Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. One baptism, one faith. One baptism, one God and Father of all. That's our Father in heaven. He is above all, and through all, and in you all, God. That's the unity of the body. I call this the body in seven dimensions. It's all here in Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 4 unto verse 6. Paul can write like this, beloved, because after all, he was the apostle that the Lord gave this special revelation of the church to. The Lord gave it to him personally, the revelation of the church of Jesus Christ. And so he has given us by the Spirit of God what the body is, what the church is. Then we go on to chapter 5 of Ephesians, and verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." The Savior of the body. He makes the rules. He's got the final word. Christ is the head. Then we go on in to the end of this chapter here, in Ephesians chapter 5. It speaks so much of the church. Beginning in verse 29, it says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church." He loves the church. The Bible says Christ loved the church. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. "For we are members of his body," verse 30, "of his flesh and of his bones." That's how he purchased us, when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We are members of his body. All the things that his body went through so that he can purchase a bride for himself, he endured it all. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The unity of the body, one flesh. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The church, you know, the marriage relationship is likened to the church, the body of Christ. It's a picture of the church, the body of Christ. We go back to chapter 4. We look at some of the functions there of the body. We're going to read this because this is a good list for us to keep in mind. Why we do what we do. What's the purpose for us? Why are we exhorting God's people? Why are we teaching God's word? The Lord has willed it thus, beloved. It says in verse 11 of Ephesians 4 that he gave some apostles. Now these are men that he has given to the church, to the body, to build it up. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Here it is, "for the perfecting of the saints," that the saints might be mature, that the saints might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Edify means to build up. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man," a mature man, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's why we have ministry. That's why we have teaching. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up." That's what we need to grow up in him in all things, who is the head, who is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God has given us these gifts in the church. He's given us to avoid immaturity. Saints need to grow up to be strong in the Lord. He has given us these gifts so that we might not have instability in the church. Everything you hear, you believe, because you don't have any core convictions. You haven't been taught. You haven't been paying attention to the teaching of God's word. He has given us these gifts to avoid gullibility. We believe everything we hear. And we're not like the Bereans. They had a habit of hearing and then searching the scriptures to see if these things were so. That's it. The body of Christ, he is the head. Then the Bible describes the church as a flock. And if there is no shepherd, then the flock would go astray. In every flock, there needs to be a shepherd. A shepherd is an overseer. A shepherd, as the Lord Jesus is described by the Apostle Peter, is the bishop of our souls. 1 Peter in chapter 2, the church referred to as a flock. In verse 24 it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He is the overseer. He is the bishop of our souls. Unless there is a shepherd, the flock would go astray. Unless there's a shepherd, the flock would be scattered. Meticulous instructions are given to those whom the Lord has given to the church, these gifted men, to teach and to oversee his flock. They're not the chief shepherd, but they are called under-shepherds. Under-shepherds. And the Lord is careful to let them know that what their role is. They're not the chief shepherd. So many people want to crave that and covet that title. Oh, I am the chief shepherd. I'm the chief man. Listen to Paul's words to the Ephesian elders, under shepherds. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, first of all, yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed. That's our responsibility. That's our calling. Those who are in leadership, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, or the blood of his own. The church of God. This is something we need to keep in mind. That the church is not our personal property. The members of the body do not belong to us. He has given us a responsibility to feed the flock, his flock. And we're reminded that he purchased this flock with his own blood. One of the great commissions as regards to taking care of God's flock, the Lord's flock, was his parting words to Peter the Apostle in John 21. When he called Peter and he asked him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than thee? He says, oh, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. We're not going to go into the different aspects of love. We know that Peter used a weaker word than the Lord Jesus used. And Peter didn't bother to say, yeah, Lord, you know I love you with agape love. We're not going to go into that. But what we are trying, the point we're trying to make here, Jesus said to him, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, to feed my flock, not your flock. My flock, they belong to me. Peter, do you love me? He says, you tend my lambs. They are mine. God has given us responsibilities in the church, beloved. He has given us responsibilities in the home. But we need to be reminded that the flock belong to him, and we are but custodians, and we are caretakers, we are even overseers. But keep in mind, whether we are teaching children, whether we are leading the assembly, whether we are raising children at home, they belong to him. Tend my lambs, they are his. Peter, do you love me? The third time. Peter was grieved. The Lord has said to him, do you love me? And the Lord now condescends to Peter, and using that weaker word, filio, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And the Lord's instruction to Peter, feed my sheep. Not feed the sheep, not feed your sheep, feed my sheep. My sheep. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The church is referred to as a flock. And even though the Lord has got under shepherds here on earth to take care, he is the chief shepherd. In Hebrews 13 and 20 it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we have to be rushing here. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter always never saw himself as the foundation on which the church was built. He looked at himself as an elder by calling and as an apostle by gift. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over whose? God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's our responsibility, to be good examples. And it says, and when the chief shepherd, that's who the flock belongs to, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We're reminded of that very known, that well-known scripture that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm just going to go to one reference in the Old Testament before I go on to the last point, because we have to get to the last one. In Isaiah, in chapter 40, oh, this is so descriptive of our Lord and his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Praise him, we sing, don't we? Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, ye saints, his wonderful words proclaim. And there are verses that say, I don't have it all in my head, but it says, in his arms he carries them all day long. O ye that dwell in his presence, praise him ever in joyful song. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead and takes care of the sheep. And he is the chief shepherd that shall appear to reward his servants. The church, finally, is referred to as a bride. There's so many songs written concerning the bride and the bridegroom. But here in Ephesians chapter 5, again, to go back to the human marriage picture. Verse 31 of Ephesians 5 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a mystery. And when we see a marriage, we often think of being the bride of Christ. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what he says. Verse 2 says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's the picture of the church. We are the bride, and he is the bridegroom. Paul says, I will present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. Not complicated. We are his bride. And he is the bridegroom. The relationship is in three stages. First, we have the espousal, which is binding. When we came to know Jesus Christ, then we have the reunion when Christ comes to take his bride away, and the final stage will be the consummation of the marriage, called in the book of Revelation the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when Christ comes. When he comes the first time, he's coming for his bride. He's going to take us away to be with himself. And when he returns to earth, he is coming not for his bride, but he's coming with his bride after the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a blessed and a glorious hope of the Christian. In Revelation 19, we're going to wrap this up. Let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife is the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So, beloved, we are in a relationship with him, the espousal. Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband. And I want to present you as a chaste bride. When Christ comes, he takes his bride to be with himself, and then we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The last invitation of the Bible is the bride and the Spirit of God. If you're not part of the Church of Jesus Christ, then you need to respond and become a part of that great bridal party, that great bride of Christ. He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Last invitation. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The church is the bride of Christ. The Lord Jesus is the bridegroom. And John describes himself as the friend of the bridegroom. He that hath the bride, that's the man. That's the man you got to pay attention to, and not to me. The man who is the bridegroom. He says, but I am the friend of the bridegroom. That's all we have time for, beloved. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. And you don't become the bride of Christ by being good and being religious, because the Lord taught us in the book of Matthew that there were 10 virgins. Only 5 were wise. Only 5 had the Spirit of God. Only 5 had oil in their lamps. They all looked the same. They went to the same church. They agreed politically. They all did the same thing, and they all looked the same, but they were not, because only 5 had oil in the lamps. He's going to test our profession. It's not about profession. It's about possession. The bridegroom came, and only 5 went in. All the religious a people without Christ are not going to be taken when the bridegroom comes. Only those who have been baptized into the body of Christ, only those who have received him as their Savior, only those who have been born again. And when you're born again, you have oil, because oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, except you be born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It was good to be with you today, beloved. Thanks for having us. We enjoyed our time. You've taken good care of us. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone, the head of the body, the great shepherd of the sheep, and the bridegroom who will come and take his church to be with himself, and we shall reign with him over the earth. Thank you for this mystic body of Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the church's one foundation, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for their love and their hospitality. We ask thy blessing on thy word to every heart. I ask thee to watch over us now as we part the one from the other. Lord, be with us and guide us. Preserve us and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Help us to dwell and muse upon these things. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.